Perfect. Hello again, everybody, and it's Monday, and you know what that means. I'm Logan, Loganity Morris, and it's time for another edition of Race and Refresh Happy Hour, Episode 48, Season 2, Episode 14 of this fun thing we call Season 2. This one titled Fuel Fiasco, I Wonder Why. But I'm Logan, Loganity Morris, as I mentioned, and I hope that you all are well, and thankfully I don't do this alone on another marvelous Monday evening. It's summertime. Can you believe we're about halfway through the year, folks? That's pretty incredible. We're already past halfway. And I don't mean about the cross flags of a race. Anywho, let's bring in some folks because I don't want to bore you with a monologue. Tonight, I'm joined by the Canadian Combo. We'll bring the first half in first. The show creator himself, John Mayer's biggest fan, certainly on this show. I can promise you that. I still don't know why Georgia did anything. Let's bring him in. Adam Carabine, come on in here.
You can't just do me dirty like that, Logan. You know what? I am the biggest John Mayer fan there is. You're making fun of Why Georgia. It's a classic tune. Look it up from 2001's great album Room for Squares. Why Georgia? We highly recommend it.
We've used it on a reel on the Facebook. So yes, yeah. I'm well aware.
I am back from the colossal failure, and I don't mean my life this time. My laptop died, and it's been a real bad time getting it back to life. And basically redoing the entire season's worth of NASCAR stats that I've been compiling. I think I'm finally caught up, but it's been a real hell of a time. So I'm back, and ready to keep going here.
AJ England says good times, bad times. It was the best times, it was the worst times. And let's bring in the other half of tonight's Canadian Combo. They've got the ham, I bring the actual bacon because I'm from the USA. Matt Marr, come on in here.
Hello guys,
how are you? Thanks, Matt,
for having me again. There is no better bacon than Canadian bacon, we'll say that.
Oh. Oh, my overblown obese keister. Are you kidding me? No, are you kidding me? I had like 10 strips of bacon yesterday. That's not hyperbole. And let's bring in the lady that tolerates me somehow or another, week in, week out, year in, year out. She's the best looking person on this dais. And unfortunately, she's in a bit of mourning, folks, because her guy, one lap to go, looking like he had it in the bag, and turns out it ain't got no gas in it. Let's bring her in. Producer Peggy, how are you?
I'm sad.
Yeah.
The summertime sadness.
That's a hit, though. Got that
zone. It's a bop.
Yeah, it's a banger. So I just want Matt Marr fast car. I like that, AJ. I like that. So I'm just curious, before we let you go and get to a week in review, what were your emotions? I mean, one lap to go, and then it ain't got a bit of gas. It looked like Ryan Blaney sounded like a pissed off father trying to mow the lawn. It ran out halfway through.
I was so sure that he was going to win. I had GIFs already picked out. And by the way, it's GIF, not JIF. JIF is peanut butter. I had GIFs picked out. And I was ready to send them, and all my hopes and dreams ran out just like Ryan Blaney's gas.
Nice. Nice. And so that's been our sad monologue with producer Peggy Lord. Peggy, any other words before we get to it?
No.
Okay. All right. In that case, I think it's time for our weekend review. AJ says, I'm Mr. I would suck start a can as TP Morris. Absolutely, I would. Though this year it's fuel additives because Mobile One is the, it's like the official fuel of the all the Toyotas for some reason. anywho, let's talk about it. Corey Heim won at Worldwide Technology Gateway. Look, he had the DQ the week before Charlotte, so redemption is a dish best served in victory lane, as they say. And Matt, I'm going to come to you to get us started here. Corey Heim doing what Corey Heim does. Has he cemented in your eyes? Because, you know, we're going to talk about the race, but silly season is upon us. Has he cemented in your eyes has he done enough to guarantee himself a Cup Series ride?
So I mentioned before in previous episodes that I don't like jumping the growing stage of going from trucks straight to cup.
Yeah.
But as we've mentioned, that looking at the talent pool of the lower series, such as the truck series, I think it's pretty easy to say that if there's anyone that's cup ready right now, it would be Corey Heim. It'll soon be Heim time in the cup time. I mean, yeah, had a great truck at Charlotte, finished second to Nick Sanchez, then goes out and dominates at Gateway. No better way to kind of tap off, what should have been him celebrating, second place, like podium finish. Didn't get in DQ because the three lug nuts were off. And now goes out there, clean race, wins it. He's back. He's shown that he is the championship favorite for this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I think he's gonna, I'm really, I know he's got two starts at the Cup Series already, something for Garrett Jones, but I am impatiently waiting for him to see what he does in the Cup car for 2311 at Nashville.
Well, it's gonna be interesting. Couple comments to get to you here from our man Freddie. Thanks for tuning in, Freddie. Appreciate you. Sonoma's gonna be a good week in racing. He says, can't wait to see the Dinger. That's right. Go for some more wins and races. We were good this weekend. He's over the same Sonoma. I agree. And then he says, crap deal for Blaney, but he'll get that win soon. Freddie, I agree with you, but I have to play devil's advocate. Will he? You never know when it's going to be your last one. I mean, who would have thought that Austin Cindric would be like 85 straight races of that's not a win? So you just never know. And so, no, it is a crap deal. If I'm Jonathan Hassler, I'm doing some duck and cover like I'm in the wrong neighborhood, because – how do you screw the pooch like that? I mean, that's who got in. You know, it'd be one thing. This is not the 70s and 80s. And this is not my nostalgic fave. We have so much technology now. Man, that's a tough thing. We'll get to it. All right. SVG got his first Xfinity win in Portland. It was a weird weekend. Portland this is the one off. You went to Portland last year, I believe, Mr. Carabine.
I did. I wasn't able to make it this year, but good for SVG getting his first Xfinity win.
Yeah. So what I don't know how much you saw, but what are your thoughts? SVG now getting his first kind of Xfinity win, another road course. He's a guy that could be looking at the Cup Series next year, maybe, depending on how all the charter situation pans out. What are your thoughts? SVG gets a win, and Does that set him on a does that take away any of your doubts about his ability in NASCAR as a whole?
I don't think it takes away any doubts. I think I never had any doubts as far as him as a road course racer. I think he's still got some to prove on ovals. And I think that's partially why he's not going to be racing in Sonoma in the Cup Series this week. I think they are trying to get him experience in the Cup Series in other situations that he's not used to, such as ovals, you know, short tracks, whatever it might be, all the other ovals. And so what's going on over there, Logan? You got a smile on your face. I think you're laughing at me.
I am laughing at you. I am. No, no. I am. I'm just enjoying you getting around.
All I'm trying to say is that I don't think SVG has changed my expectations by winning another road course. If he wins an oval, then I'll start to get excited about his like Cup Series trajectory. But for now, I think it's good. Just get him some reps down in the Xfinity Series. There's a chance we'll see him next year in Cup, and who knows? I don't know. But really, all he has to do is get one road course win, and then he can get himself into the playoffs, and, you know, the rest is history. So,
all right, Matt Marr, since we have a politician here on the stand, he was grooving around that as you saw. I want to know, SVG, did he silence any of your doubts, any of your queries, any of your anxieties about his potential in NASCAR? Let me know.
I think people's expectations were like too high on the get go in terms of like, you know, he won that one one off race at Chicago last year in the Cup Series and thought, you know, he's gonna be, you know, so good coming to NASCAR. And I think he kind of proportionally played his role well enough to, okay, he's gonna get some starts and trucks. His main goal is to run the full Xfinity schedule. And I don't think he's finished. I think he's finished every race on the lead lap so far in the Xfinity Series. So, which in my mind is impressive. He also has a great team around him, not only being driving the colleague cars, but having access to also like drivers in track. It was, you know, Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez, and like you got AJ Allmendinger being his teammate, and just everyone between colleague Trackhouse and Nice Motorsports, you know, there's a lot of information that he could take advantage of. And I think we've seen him, you know, learn a lot, kind of flourish. Like he's being consistent, top 15s, top 10s. Like he's before he got this win at Portland, you know, I think there was a chance for him to point his way into a playoff scenario. Now that he has the playoff, you know, he's won his way into it. I think there's a chance for him to kind of, you know, play around a little bit, do some different things, you know, do some more learning, see what will work, what won't work, you know. But he has a chance now to run for a championship. And I think, like I said, with all the resources he has around him, he's going to make the most of it, and I think we can see him compete for, you know, top fives, like possibly go for wins on short tracks. And, you know, we saw him run really well at Talladega. You know, he was running up front, led a few laps up there. So I think my expectations for him have kind of steadily kind of increased I think we may see him compete for a win on an oval towards the end of the year. But whether he's fully ready for a full European Cup, I'm hesitant to say yes.
I have to agree with you on that, Matt. I'm hesitant to say yes as well, but sometimes it's not about if you're ready or if you're not ready. It's about the sponsorship opportunities and if it's the right time for other things that wreak havoc in this sport. Anywho, Adam, that is how you give an answer on what's the deal with SVG as you went roundabout on her. All right.
Listen, you know what? I answered. I just said I'm not sold on his oval prowess just yet. Okay. And also he had one DNF at Las Vegas.
Okay.
engine issues. But
all right. All right. Austin Cindric took advantage of issues for Bell and Blaney. Bell's engine didn't quite blow, but it definitely dropped a cylinder. And then the reason this is called Fuel Fiasco is because with one to go, it, like I said, it just ran out. There's no other way to put it. Jonathan Hassler and whomever screwed the absolute pooch on this one. You can spin it in. Now, the captain, Roger Penske, would be much more upset if one of his drivers didn't also win the race. All right, because then somebody would be getting a chewing. Somebody getting a fine chewing. But, Adam, let's talk about it. Ryan Blaney, one to go. Looks like he's got this baby in the bag. I mean, he's got the whole sack of food. He's got the fries at the bottom. This is his race. He's going to win the Enjoy Illinois 300. And then not so fast, my friend, Austin Cindric snaps a ginormous winless streak. What were your thoughts and emotions?
Yeah, that it's a colossal screw up. You are not wrong. That is a major mistake. And you kind of touched on it earlier. We have the technology to figure this stuff out, right? This was completely avoidable. Accidents happen on pit road. Maybe they didn't get enough, fuel in there. And fair enough. That's okay. Like, things happen. Mistakes are made. But we should be able to tell that there is not enough fuel in there. And the other thing is, Blaney had time at different points there that he could have been saving some fuel and probably could have avoided this if he had known, right? So not only did they screw up getting the fuel in there, I can excuse that. It's, you know, pit road is fast. Mistakes happen there. But then once you know, like, no one even paid attention to this. No one even realized that they were low on fuel because they didn't tell him to save. And suddenly on the last lap, he's coming up short. I think he finished 24th after all was said and done, which is, that's embarrassing. You know, that's a big mistake.
It is a comment to get to here from my buddy Ryan Hill. He says, poor Blaney. Glad to see Penske looking strong again. Hopefully they build off of this. Of course, he's a Joey Logano guy, but he's a Penske guy as a whole, really. And so Penske finally did. Let's touch on that for just a moment before we get Matt's thoughts on the fuel fiasco. Adam, Penske did look strong as a collective threesome for the first time all season. Were you surprised by that, or do you think they can build off of it? Let me know.
I think I'm more surprised that it's taken this long to get to a point like this. At some point during the race, they were running 1, 2, and 3, which is great. Let me just see here. Yeah, Logano finished 5th, and then obviously Blaney, his 24th, doesn't necessarily show how he did in the race, aside from that screw-up at the end. Yeah, I think that's great for Penske. It's not great that it took till race 15 for them to have a win, to have any sort of dominance. It's been kind of an off year for Joey Logano. Cindric's been pretty much invisible since he won the Daytona 500 in that year. So yeah, it's nice to see them back. Do I think this is like the start of some real momentum building for Penske? I'm not sold on that. I don't know if I believe in that in this era of NASCAR, just because parity is so, you know, high.
Momentum is a fickle mistress. We know that. Ryan knows that, of course. You know, we completely forget that Joey Logano did win the All-Star race because there was the right hook heard around the track. Matt, let's talk about it. Ryan says, give me some hope, Adam. Usually he's a hopeful guy. He's doing his best impression of you, Ryan, because Ryan is the most pure mother lover I know.
I'm cranky today. Sorry, Ryan.
But Matt, let's talk about it. First of all, here I'm going to give you a lot to unpack. First of all, what's your thoughts on the fuel fiasco? Secondly, is Penske going to build off this? Is this the week that finally gets them on the right track? Or was this just, hey, they brought it for this week, but then right back to the usual program at Sonoma? You have the floor.
So I want to first start off saying I think this kind of solidifies that that Ford is back as a whole for a manufacturer. We saw RFK, you know, win Darlington. You know, Joey Logano won the All-Star race. They ran well at Charlotte. And we saw another Ford win at Gateway. So I really think that kind of solidifies that, you know, Ford, the manufacturer, is back on their game. But in terms of the fuel fiasco, I saw a clip of the latest Door Bumper Clear Dirty Mo Media podcast talking about that a little bit. And they mentioned that they can weigh the like the fuel cans at the track and once it's, you know, what's full, what's empty, you know, how much is left in the can. So if they do two full fuel cans, you know, they should be able to, you know, weigh it to see if they actually got everything out of the can. So I don't know if there was a mess up of like, did they not weigh it? Did they not know? Did they not communicate properly? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if someone got fired because of that, to be honest. Like, you know, you make the race as a whole, like, there wasn't in terms of like a lot of cautions. Like, there was a couple spins here and there, nothing major. It wasn't a wreck fest. So, you know, we had a couple good long runs that we had green flag pit stops two or three times throughout the race. And so, knowing that, you got to be on the A game on pit stops for this. And that's a defending championship team, too. Like, that's just embarrassing. I'm not going to place blame on the crew chief because, like, he can have all the bats figured out all he wants. But if the crew guys aren't playing their part in terms of dumping all the fuel into the car, and, you know, making sure it's all empty, because if they don't do that, okay, did it not get enough in there? How much should Blaney actually save if he's, you know, communicating at to the crew chief to Borger the mast, and then, hey, Blaney, like, you know, we're like half a lap short, you know, you know, start saving. You know, he did have to, as Adam mentioned, there was enough time for him to actually, you know, let off earlier, you know, don't, you know, do half throttle, three quarter throttle, whatever, that into the corners, because he was, you know, mainly running through a lot of traffic. So, you know, he had a time gap between him and Bell, even though Bell was gaining quite a bit, and then he had his engine problem, so he could have backed off more. So I'm not going to put fault on Blaney and the crew chief in this scenario, but someone has to take responsibility for this obviously embarrassing moment.
Look, I think somebody, Matt, I disagree with you. I think somebody probably should get canned. I mean, and I pardon the pun there, and not even intended. I think it's just absolutely inexcusable in this era to have that happen because, like you talked about, Matt, he had a huge lead. He could have easily let off. It would have been no problem. We're good. You know, hit your marks. Let's let off a little bit. Feather that throttle for me, bud.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of like a miscommunication. Like, you know, was that fuel can fully empty? Like, was it not communicated to the crew chief to communicate that to his driver? Like, that's something that, you know, we probably won't know and probably ever will never find out.
It is just such a fascinating thing to me that a championship now winning team it would be bad for any team, but you're talking about your defending champion and that team, which is, I was blown away, perplexed. I was confuzzled, confused, had the wool pulled over my eyes.
Yeah.
It was the closest thing you could ever think about. And it's not even remotely the same as when Denny Hamlin blew that tire with like six to go, but that was blowing a tire. It's not the same thing. It just, I don't know. I'm just wow. All right.
I don't know.
I will say this does not take away the fact that Austin Cedric did run a really good race. Like, he was easily to be top five, top three, all like at the finish if Bell and Blaney didn't have their issues. The fact that he was able to keep it clean, and it did surprise me. Like, honestly, I myself basically wrote off Cedric after even the 2022 season. He hadn't, you know, had any runs like that. And he were close. He started up front, and he kept it up there. And just, you know, things happened, and he capitalized. So congrats to Austin Cedric and the number two team.
Agreed. Let's talk about that for a moment before we move on to the Kyle versus Kyle debate. Adam, Austin Cedric, you know, hook or crook, he got the dub. However you win, it's how you win. Does this take him off the hot seat at Penske? All right, wait a minute. Let me time out. Was he on the hot seat? And if he was, does this take him off of it? Adam, you had the floor. Matt, you're going to get the same question afterwards.
It's hard to know whether he was on the hot seat. I would hope that he was on the hot seat. I think it was time for him to be on the hot seat, but there's also perhaps a little nepotism going on there. I know his dad is involved in the, you know, in Team Penske, and is this another Austin Dillon situation where, you know, maybe does he deserve that seat? Not necessarily, but he's family, so we keep him in there. Yeah, I think it was getting hot. And I'm not entirely convinced that this changes that. Yes, he had a good race, Matt, you're not wrong. His average running position was sixth throughout the entire day. So that's, you know, nothing to scoff at. And he has been better this season in general, just than we have seen. But is it enough? I don't know. I think we're going to need to see not necessarily another win this year, but some continued solid momentum. I know I just said momentum doesn't exist in NASCAR, but I think we need to see him still running up front for, you know, the rest of the season in order for him to completely put out the flames on that hot seat.
Well, I personally thought you were wrong when you said momentum doesn't exist in NASCAR, and I'm glad that you've now seen the light. Matt, you have the same question. Was he on the hot seat? If he was on the hot seat, does this quench that heated seat?
I don't know if he was on the hot seat or not, to be honest, because there hasn't been a lot of news about Austin Cindric over the last, you know, this past season or even last year, talking about, you know, if someone's going to be up in line for his ride. Like, it's hard to have your seat, have a hot seat if you're, you know, your father's the president of Team Penske. And I will say that momentum does exist in NASCAR. Momentum has to do a lot with confidence. And Austin Cindric, like Adam had mentioned, he has had some solid runs this year. Nothing to really showboat about. Although, you know, Gateway is going to be the one example there. And I think he should be able to ride this momentum going into Sonoma, because he does fare well with road courses as well. So it'd be good to see him continue that momentum, especially, you know, he had a great Xfinity career. I don't know how many wins he got in the few years there, but can't remember off the top of my head. But he's, like I said, I don't think there was a mention of him being on a hot seat. There wasn't a lot of news about him. 13 wins in Xfinity. Okay, glad we get the stat in here. But yeah, it just kind of shows like the talent is starting to kind of showcase now over like after the last couple of years. You know, he got the Daytona 500 win in his rookie year in 2022, which, you know, as we all know, super speedway racing is a lot about luck as well as, you know, good timing and good skill. But now you can showcase his talent and like being able to win on a short track, which, mind you, Gateway to me is kind of like almost, I want to say it's almost a mini Darlington. It's got that shape to it, just not the banking. And I think, especially with overall Penske's enforced performance lately, I think we can see that kind of forward progression and, momentum, as we mentioned, to go forward and possibly see, I don't know how many wins he may get. He might contend for a couple more. I don't see him winning much more this season. But now that he's in the playoff picture, you know, anything can happen, right?
Yeah, you get hot at the right time, and you never know. Again, momentum, very fickle mistress. So we'll see what happens. Look, I don't know what this means to Cindric's future. Personally, I think he probably ought to still be on the hot seat, but you know, being in the right place at the right time, win's a win, because you can make an argument that Daniel Suarez should be on the hot seat at Trackhouse. And I know, well, you know, that was less funny circumstance, but still, when you're that close to the finish, we had Atlanta, there's some luck involved there as well. So, all right, one final incident to talk about from Gateway before we move on to our happy hour headlines, the Kyle versus Kyle moment. I'll start here. I thought this was just some hard racing, and, you know, he got loose, and, you know, crap happens. I don't think there's anything to be upset about for either man. you know, it's just going hard at it. And unfortunately, Kyle Busch got the short end of the Kyle stick. Matt, what say you?
See, I think there's a lot to kind of digest about this. Cause right now, currently, Kyle Busch sits 20th in points. He was 14th. So he's four spots out of a playoff spot. Because of that DNF. And so they're battling off of turn 3 and 4, going down on in the back, going down the front stretch. They make a little bit of contact. Kyle Busch basically pins them down in turn 1, and they get together, wrecking in the coming out of 2. I understand Kyle Larson trying to go for that point, but I think until we hear any sort of news about the waiver, there's not a lot for him to really be that competitive for right now. And also in that moment, Kyle Busch, to avoid any of that conflict, you know, as much as, you know, you want to race for that same point at the point position, try and go for it at the same real estate, he should have backed off. There's a point where he should have backed off, saved the aircraft, saved the equipment, because now, look at him. Like I said, he's like 6 spots from where he was originally, outside of a playoff position. And with only 11 races left before the playoffs start, there's a lot of ground to be made up. And there are some good tracks coming for him that he could possibly win at. But there's also a lot of good tracks for other drivers to win at as well. It's just RCR has kind of actually gone downhill since last year as well. In comparison to, you know, Busch had, what, 2 wins last year? You know, a bunch of top 5s, top 10s. Like, he looked like he was Kyle Busch of years ago compared to.
Well, it was a little deceiving, Matt, and I'll tell you why. Because if you've noticed, that trend started really at the second half of last year. Most of his success, if not all of it, Adam, maybe you can clarify this for me, was like the first half of last year, and then suddenly it started to take a downward trend, and it's continued to that. So, yeah, it's interesting. Well, go ahead and wrap up what you were going to say.
That's really about it. I mean, it's all about, you know, kind of keep in mind, like, you know, where are you in relation to the points? You know, should you really be pushing the limit too far in that scenario? You know, this is at the last lap of stage 2. So that wreck took away all the stage points. You know, no change of any points at the end of the race either. I don't know. I don't like it for Kyle Busch for trying to do something like that. And you know, he should know better to kind of realize, okay, kind of back off. Yeah, he's going to lose one spot for a stage point. But that stage point is going to a guy that may not even have, you know, any playoff points going forward. We don't know yet because of the waiver situation.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Adam, any thoughts on the Kyle versus Kyle thing? Or are you ready to move on to happy hour headlines?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think it was hard racing. I don't think there was any real malicious intent there. But I was just looking at RCR this year versus last year. You're right, Matt. They are worse off than they were last year. They are trending to finish on average about 60 points below where they finished last year, which is not great. So that's okay. We can move on.
All right. So with that, look, we've talked about the weekend. We've talked about Gateway. We got to keep moving it along. So that means it's time for our happy hour headlines. Before we get started on those, do want to remind you that don't be afraid to give us a like, give us a share, go check out our Facebook, our website, our YouTube, follow Adam on Twitter, follow all of us on Twitter. You see our ads down there. And hey, if you're feeling so inclined, don't be afraid to check out our shop on the website where you can get some fine Racing Refresh merchandise with my face on it, Colin's face on it. Adam, your face isn't there yet, and Matt, you got to earn your stripes, damn it. So that's just the way it's got to go.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Please be sure to check us out. And again, give us a like, give us a share. We want to grow this thing, and we can only grow it as much as you allow us to. Thank you very much. All right, let's talk happy hour headlines. We did an emergency show last week that I was on, and either one of you gentlemen were able to make it to because, well, you have lives. SHR is shutting down at the end of the 2024 campaign. If only anybody could have predicted this. If only anybody could have told you they saw something coming. Adam Carabine, given that you are the show creator, and again, Matt, this is all about earning stripes. Given that you are the show creator, I'm going to let you have the floor on the what's your take? SHR is closing down at the end of the season. Now, I know I've made some many proclamations on this show. I got to admit, I didn't see it coming this fast. What's your take?
Yeah, I agree. I have been in agreement with you when you've said that SHR is certainly on the downswing, and I know we kind of talked about whether they might sell a charter or two or something. I'm also quite surprised that it's going kind of, you know, 0 to 100, or I guess 100 to 0 here at the end of this season. And here's the funny thing, really, is like they're not doing that poorly. Like they are below their expectation level, but this is a tough sport to be like elite at, you know, consistently elite, and they're doing okay. Like they could be doing better. Yes. They lost Kevin Harvick and they lost Eric Almirola, two veterans. They've brought in some younger talent. And I know Josh Berry is not necessarily younger, but he's younger as far as experience in the Cup Series goes. Yeah. I don't know. They're kind of where I would expect them to be in this kind of rebuilding phase that it seemed like they were in, you know, this moving forward, as they called it. And I'm surprised, like there must be some discussions behind the scenes that are not being made public, as far as like maybe some other teams that are looking to buy a charter from them are talking some prices that are looking pretty nice right now. I don't know. There's something weird about it that doesn't fully make sense. And I don't know if it ever will to just the general public. I don't know if we'll get the full story here. NASCAR is pretty good about keeping things tight-lipped. But yeah, I'm surprised that they're going straight down to just like, we're shutting the whole thing down. I would have preferred to see them chop it down to two charters, focus all their energies on the two, see if they can get some momentum moving back in the right direction and go from there. But it's, you know, it's not my decision to make, I guess. It's up to the big wigs there. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how this all shakes down at the end of the year, and, you know, what's going to happen with those drivers, what's going to happen with those charters, et cetera. It'll definitely make for a very interesting, silly season. So on that end of things, I guess I'm happy about that. It'll be interesting to follow over the off season, but yeah, it's sad. It's sad, and it's you know, they're not backmarkers, you know. They're doing okay. So I don't know. Is there something wrong with the sport? And I know you touched on it a little bit, Logan, in your column just the other day, like these people, you know, is there something wrong with the sport in that it's not financially feasible for them to run where they're running, which is decent. I'm going to shut up. I've talked too much.
The thing about this sport is right now the owners just off of this sport aren't making money. I mean, Jeff Gordon told Dell Jr. that Hendrick hasn't turned a profit on the race team in over a decade. And if that's true, that tells you all you need to know, because then you know nobody else is.
I mean, maybe on the books. I don't know if I buy that.
Matt, Adam gave you a lot there. Do you have follow-up to any of that?
So it's been a week. It's been, well, actually, what, 8 days now? Some of that. I have been thinking, like, I've had some thoughts brewing, and I've watched a few of the podcasts, watched other interviews. To, you know, Kevin Hart, who's had some thoughts and comments about it as well. And I think, like, we know this is not a money issue, you know. If you have a guy like Gene Haas, who has both, you know, his pockets both in NASCAR and also a Formula One, you cannot be doing bad for money. We know it's not a performance issue, but what I think the problem is that neither owner is able to commit full time to this, especially, you know, a guy like Tony Stewart, who is also now drag racing with his wife, Leah Pruitt. And Kevin Harvick on his podcast has mentioned that, you know, it's a full-time 24/7 365 day sport. You have to commit every single day to what your organization is. You know, and as Adam and I mentioned, like, I would have been fine to see them, you know, go with, you know, get away with two charters, like get away, you know, get away from Xfinity, like, you know, drop the Xfinity program and just focus on the Cup cars. But it wasn't really a performance issue. Like, they had their little setbacks, but like, they were overall running fine. But I think this is a similar situation to the Kevin Harvick Incorporated company that Kevin Harvick ran. He had a truck program and Xfinity program, you know, 10-15 years ago. In a certain way, like, you know, that they were both successful truck and Xfinity program, but where he's doing his own thing at the same time, he can't commit to running those programs himself. And I think it's just a matter of not being able to carry that amount of workload, no matter if, you know, you've got the right people involved. You know, Ryan Childress is a great leader in that organization, but if Tony and Gene are not going to be there to, you know, help facilitate everything as an order should, their hands not going to be in there. They're not going to want to step inside, you know? So as sad as Stuart Haas leaving is, they're doing it at the right time. They're letting people know that, you know, we have the rest of the year to finish out, to perform well, you know, go out, do our best, win races, possibly win a championship on the way out. And it's been a good ride.
Yeah, look, it wasn't that long ago they were a true powerhouse of the garage. You know, I like to have some fun at SHR's expense, because it's well known on any incarnation of this show. I'm no fan of Tony Stewart, but it is not a good thing to ever see anyone lose their jobs, and that's heartbreaking for the sport, and it's not a good thing. And it's a trend that, as Adam said, I touched on in my latest Loganity column for Racing Refresh. This trend of teams shutting the doors needs to stop when NASCAR as a sport is making nearly record profits. We have to find a way to share the wealth a little bit. And people can say, well, that's not NASCAR's problem. Well, when you run out of teams, therefore you run out of drivers, it's going to become NASCAR's problem. It might not be their problem, but it is their obligation, if that makes sense. So that's just my personal take. We got to keep moving along. Because there's a big topic right now in NASCAR, and we're just going to call it waiver watch. Will he? Won't he? Might he? Could he? Should he? Maybe. Everyone's got an opinion on this thing. I broke down my opinion last week. Matt, you gave some of yours, so I'm going to let Adam start on this. We don't have a decision on Kyle Larson's waiver, which is – that's the most stunning fact, not of which way they go. The most stunning thing is we don't know where we're going yet.
I'm just quickly refreshing Bob Pockris's Twitter account just to see. Still no news. I don't understand what's taking so long. This is so weird.
Usually the waiver news of someone getting one comes like literally 24 to 48 hours after the fact.
Yeah. which leads me to believe that they're leaning towards no, but then dragging it out like this is going to make it weird too. Like, I feel like it's not a great look on NASCAR that it's taking this long. Just make a decision and stick with it. You know, like, I don't really care either way. Like, I'm not a Larson fan. I don't hate him. I don't love him. You know, is it weird that he's, you know, maybe not going to be in the playoffs because of this whole doing the double thing? I don't know. I mean, NASCAR, I think, benefited from him doing this and all the publicity they got.
In what way? No, it didn't add a viewer. It didn't add a click. It did not. It didn't. Benefit they had,
it didn't work out.
Left that horse left the barn, cowboy.
It benefited IndyCar at the time, really, because all eyes that were, you know, NASCAR fans were glued to the Indy 500 until Charlotte, which, you know, never got to run a lap.
Yeah, I think if it had worked out properly and he had been able to come in and get in the car, we might have seen some IndyCar fans come over and watch, you know, to see how Larson did, but. I don't know. I know how you feel, Logan. I know which way you're leaning. To me, I don't care which way it goes. I'm fine with it either way. I'm not going to be mad or upset. I think it's just craziness that they haven't announced it yet. And I don't know if are they just trying to build some drama, some, you know, anticipation around, but I feel like it's gone too far now. And I think whatever decision they make, there's going to be backlash about how long this has taken, more than that'll overshadow the actual decision.
I'd have to agree with that portion. Matt, you gave some thoughts last week.
I did. I have a couple more comments to kind of build up on it.
And, go ahead.
I do like how you mentioned that, you know, the amount of time it's taking so long for NASA to make a decision. But I think I'm okay with them taking this amount of long right now for the exact reason of, I think, not that necessarily, like, are people going to hate them for not giving one or whatever, but I think it's going to, how do we rewrite this rule going forward? Because, no, Larson couldn't control the weather that delayed the Indy 500 or the, you know, the Coke 600 that, you know, he couldn't make it and, you know, cancel the rest of it when he did show up. But my biggest thing is that Kyle still said that his priority was the Indy 500. And again, I'm going to reference Door Bumper Clear because I just saw a clip there earlier today on that podcast that Freddie Kraft had mentioned that if they don't give him the waiver, what's then him just saying, okay, I'm going to skip this race or that race to go race dirt cars or go race something else? You know, because he's not going to get the points to continue going on for a championship. You know, he's going to go do something else. Like fans are going to start watching something else. Like, at what point do we just kind of just scrap the waiver thing and just say, and like, does that also have any influence with a charter thing where, you know, if someone's going to be racing full time, having a charter racing full time for that car, that they must be starting every single race? I think one has to be tied into the other, but you know, I think there's some sort of a policy change that's going to be coming forward once they make their decision, no matter what the decision is.
Look, I don't disagree with you, but I'm going to get real blunt here. I'm going to bring a little something here. I'm going to muster it up. Let's call a spade here, ladies and gentlemen. A couple years ago, this man, and hey, we all make mistakes, said the worst racial slur you can say on a live stream. He was out of the sport. He was suspended. And now we look at the possibility of him having this sport bent over a proverbial barrel. I don't like it. Look, at the end of the day, the waiver thing is way too gray, but the rule is there. So that's why I'm in favor of him not getting one, is because the rule is the rule. I know they've been real funny about letting everybody and their mama have it. It doesn't mean it was the right thing. It's never too late to do the right thing. So when people say, well, people will just quit watching, no one man's bigger than a sport anyway, number one. Number two, again, let's not forget this is the same guy. And I'm not trying to hold him hostage for his past. We all do very stupid things. I'm just saying, like, it's so weird how quickly we've transformed from this guy's lucky to be here to, oh, my God, there could be an uprising if he's not given this waiver. I hope NASCAR makes a decision soon so we can get it over with. So we can either complain about him getting it or not getting it, depending on what side of the fence you're on. Adam, I'll let you have the final word. Anything else on that before we move it along?
Yeah, I've got one quick question for you, Logan. Should Erik Jones have been given a waiver? I know your loyalties lie with Legacy Motor Club. Technically, he was medically cleared to come back, and he chose to take another week off and wait until Darlington to come back.
I would say he deserved a waiver more than anybody that's deserved a waiver recently, because he got hurt in a NASCAR sanctioned event. I'm not pro waiver if you get hurt in a sprint car. I'm not pro waiver if you have a temper tantrum like Chase Elliott and start hooking people. And it would be the same thing if it was Erik Jones or John Hrnemacek. I swear that my love of legacy has nothing to do with my take here. I think a waiver should only be if you get hurt in a NASCAR sanctioned event. because anything else is your choice on your time or some hot-headed decision you make, and there's actions to those consequences. So, yeah, I think Eric Jones should be allowed, or anybody else does has nothing to do with it being Eric Jones. It can be Kyle Busch, who we all know that I love and pray for nightly, that if you get hurt on a NASCAR-sanctioned event and you feel the need to take an extra week, yeah, my life is at risk here, bud. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. That's just my take. Anything else?
No, that's fine. I was just giving you crap there. But
you do love to do that lately.
I do. I'm getting old and cranky. I said it before we started going live here. I'm just getting old and cranky here.
I hear you. Well, you're looking younger by the day, so your skincare routine is working.
I've been drinking lots of water. What can I say?
A little water, a little anti-aging cream. All right, it's time for our weekend preview. All righty. So the trucks are off until late June until Nashville. Xfinity Cup in Sonoma. And guess who else is in Sonoma? This is why I want to get to this. Adam, you're heading to Sonoma. So do us a favor. Break down your week. When are you leaving? What you do? And how's it looking?
I am crazy. And so I am driving to Sonoma. It's about a 16-hour drive. I am leaving tomorrow evening after work. So, doing that, and I've got a press event on Thursday that I'm attending, and then we'll be there for the entire weekend, and I'll be missing next week's show because I'll be in transit on my way back to the great white north up here. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be interesting. The Sonoma's got that new repave as well. You're gonna like this, Logan. I don't know if you saw this, but cup series are getting 50 minutes of practice because of the new repave. They're giving
just
them
the way God intended.
So that's a little extra, a little nugget there for you. I'm looking forward to it. It's always fun. I've been to Sonoma now the last two years, I think. It's a great fun atmosphere. It's a great race, and looking forward to it again. So yeah, I'll be there.
So you're rolling into town what, Thursday?
I'll be getting in kind of Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
Now, just for those of us that don't do this or haven't had the chance to do it yet, you know, what's the first thing you do when you get to the track? You know, what's the first part of your job? What's step one when you're at the track on a Saturday or a Sunday?
Step one is I'll be there Friday afternoon because that's when cup practice is.
50 minutes, baby.
I think Xfinity practice too. There is an ARCA race on Friday, and I hate to admit it, but I don't care as much about the ARCA series. I got other fish to fry, but the garages will be open and all that stuff, so I'll be doing that. But really, the first step is to find my spot in the media center. Oh, yeah. So I get a little, they put your little name tag down there, this spot's reserved for Adam, and I'll show up and get set up, get the old command center up and running there. The brand new command center, I might say. So
yes, I'll be watching you on Press Pass. I guarantee it. NASCAR.com/PressPass. I'll be watching you, brother.
I'll do a dance for you. You let me know when you're watching.
Oh, believe me, I'll be in your DMs like an eager chick. All right, F1's Montreal, IndyCar's got Road America, NHRA's in Bristol, Tennessee. John Force won his 157th Wally yesterday. So good for AJ and good for John Force. Pretty this incredible.
Is ageless. How does he keep doing it?
I don't know. He's retiring again in the season, apparently.
74. Oh,
is that official?
Well, he mentioned he was Austin Proc, I think, is replacing him. He said he's gonna be stepping down.
Yeah, he alluded to that he's running out of time. Now, is that this year? Is that next year? Yeah. John Forstretch is a guy that might waffle on it, kind of Brett Favre-ish. We'll see what happens.
He's doing the Martin Truex approach.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Doing the Martin here.
Because let's be honest, it's his race team, so he can take as much time and flirt with as much as he wants to. Yeah. It's literally his decision to make. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with John Force and if he does end up calling today, I know a certain guy we're going to have to get on here to give us take. Anywho, look, we're getting close to the end of the line. So before we get out of here, though, we got to make some racing refresh picks.
Ooh. There we go.
Little late on the trigger. That's all right.
Someone's watching something else, I guess. I don't know.
Adam, give me an update, brother.
Yeah. Okay. Now let me tell you, I went back, I watched last week because I wanted to watch the show. I missed it last week, but I also wanted to see who everyone picked. And I had forgotten to write it down. So I went back just earlier today and I went just fast forwarded to that part to remind myself who everyone picked. And lo and behold, Mr. Logan Loganity Morris, just out of nowhere, I'll take Austin Cindric. What the hell is this?
Got him a genius.
I was like, how did you? I don't know. So Logan wins the week. Congratulations, Logan. That is a hell of a pick. Yep. There's our new scoreboard there.
Oh, I got no points or what's going on here? I picked last week.
I know you did pick. We got to, it's maybe for the playoffs, we'll restart.
However he decided, he's the boss.
I know they had you do your own separate pick. I think you and Colin should almost be on a team because that's just, I don't know. It might be easier that way. So anyways, that's the updated score. I, unfortunately, with my pick of Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson had his way with him. And I get to pick first because he came last, or at least out of everyone that we picked. And so let me just quickly have a quick peek here, see who I've got. And we're going to Sonoma, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be there.
I will be there. You know, I'm going to take Martin Truex Jr. He's going to rebound after the cut tire. And he did win there once before when I was there, and it was a very exciting time. So I'm going Truex.
Well, producer Peggy, come on in here. Come on in here.
She is up next. What's
what happened?
She's just wearing her shoes on her hands.
Not there.
She's just practicing her claps. What?
That's why the button didn't get pushed right away.
Do you have a pick for us?
Who you got for Sonoma?
let me consult the list.
What are you doing?
I'm painting my shoes.
She's the queen of multitasking.
No wonder she was late on that trick of race and refresh picks.
Yeah.
Take her hand out of her shoe.
I've taken all these people already.
I know, yes.
I'll take Daniel Suarez.
Okay.
All right, mi amigo.
That's where he got his first career win.
Yeah, it might be a good pick.
Next up would be Colin. Matt, we're going to have you pick on behalf of Colin here.
Oh, boy. I don't...
Pressure.
Have you picked Joey Logano yet?
He has not.
Yeah, let's go with Logano.
Okay. And Logan, it's up to you.
All right. Look, at some point you got to use him, so I'm going to do it this week. Let's go Zane Smith.
All right.
I think that's your throwaway pick right there, I guess.
Look, we're hoping for some calamity. It's in Homa.
We're not going to own it because I made a comment about your pick last week, and look what happened.
Yeah.
So, hey.
I tell you.
Look out.
I could not believe it. I'm looking back at I'll take Cindric. Like, it's like, I thought last week was his throwaway pick, and look at this.
So that means that good looking man's about to get a dub this week somehow or another, at least yeah. Top five.
And then you passed me in the standings too. I'm not impressed. So
well, I mean, it's rumored that he's on the hot seat for Tracko. So I mean, he's on the roof.
He needs a good run. He needs a nice top 10, top five. Zane Smith, could that's happen. What we'll go with.
I need Truex to have a good run, not just for my sake in this game, but just
needs it.
It's been testy on the old Truex radio last couple weeks. So
you got what, 5 wins of Sonoma or something like that? Something stupid.
It's a lot. Yeah, he's up there. I don't know about
it's getting testy on the 43 scanner too. And did you see that report by Bob Pockers today?
I don't know if I did. I've been looking just for waiver watch, but
Bob Pocker says that JGR might have Edgar Jones on the radar if MTJ were to decide that he's going to go fishing.
Oh, interesting.
They're going to bring him back.
So we'll see what happens there. So that means it's going to be a stressful silly season for years truly.
MTJ has 4 wins at Sonoma. It's the second most out of any driver ever. Jeff Gordon had 5. That's the record. So
MTJ on the drive for 5 this weekend, but we'll talk about that next week and see how that goes. If MTJ wins, you got to send in a video.
I might be able to just join from my car. I'll be driving. I'll pop in and say hi, depending on my
refresh live with MTJ.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I'll do my best.
Get in the car here, Martin.
Wins, we'll be doing it together.
Get in the car. I have fish and bait and skull tobacco. Get in the car. All right. With that, it's time to, I don't know which one of you is going to hit this button, but be ready. It's time for closing time.
No.
Did you both hit it at the same time?
We did, yeah. She looks like she wasn't ready. So
Matt Moore, it's look, every great show comes to an end, so we got to bring it home. Give us some final words.
I just want to say thanks again for having me on the show. Always glad to be here. Looking forward to another great weekend of racing ahead of us. It's, you know, you guys mentioned before, it's going to be stressful silly seasons. It's going to be a stressful season here on out. Waiver watch, playoff watch. I'm going to be doing a little work on a track myself this coming Saturday at Petty International Raceway in New Brunswick here for the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. It's going to be a busy weekend for myself. And my sister's baby shower is on Sunday as well, so.
Hope all goes well.
Thank you.
But thank you, Matt, for coming on. I'm sure you'll be back here real soon. We'll see what happens, but I don't think it'll be too long before we see you again. All right, Mr. Carabine, you got some final words for me?
I do. I would like to serve as a cautionary tale to everyone out there. Please, everyone, go and back up your computers, your info. I unfortunately am stupid and did not back up my stuff very recently. The last backup I had was December, which means anything that I had done this season in NASCAR on my computer was gone. And so go back up right now. I will say this. I had bought a new laptop because the old one was already dying, and I tried to do a final backup to transfer stuff over, and it died in the middle of the backup. So it was very upsetting, but just do it more often. Then you won't have to worry about it. You won't have to do what I did. And very, very bad.
That's why other than that, second reads wouldn't be up there.
That's right. Other than that, I'm looking forward to going to Sonoma this week. It's always great to be at the track and looking forward to just kind of getting back in the groove. And hopefully we'll see. I was hoping that all my features would be back this week, but I also, I'm going to spend a good chunk of my week driving to Sonoma. So we'll see what happens.
So maybe next week.
Yeah, for sure. But definitely you can follow along on Twitter or X at Racing Refresh. I'll be kind of live tweeting the entire weekend. Come check that out if you want the inside scoop. There you go.
We're looking forward to that inside scoop. And you know, John Cena follows me on Twitter.
Does he actually?
He does, legitimately.
Is that... like, is that a joke?
Is that because you can't see him?
You can't see him. He's camouflaged.
He literally does follow.
I think he follows me too. Yeah.
He literally follows me on Twitter. Producer Peggy, with your paintbrush and multitasking, do you have any final words as we head towards Sonoma this weekend?
The shiny boot.
I don't have many final words.
Yeah.
I'm going to a concert Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm painting these shoes.
Are you going to see the Spice Girls?
They will walk really well.
Spice
Girls are a hit.
They are a hit. And I hope Brian Blaney wins, as always. I think he'll win at Sonoma. Probably not. But that doesn't mean I don't hope he does.
That the facial expressions were what made that. Not quite sure on that.
My question is, what comes first, the end of Peggy's final words or NASCAR's waiver decision for Kyle Larson?
I could go on about
Blaney. Are we on a Peggy final word watch now?
We are.
I'll check the box. You're not bringing it home.
Blaney. I could write a book about him, but I digress. I'll continue next chapter next week.
All right, next week. But before next week, we got to get through this week. So with that, Matt, want to thank you as always for hopping on. Really, really appreciate you being a clutch pinch hitter, utility man. We really appreciate that. Thank you for watching, whether that was AJ, Ryan, Freddie, as always. Freddie, you're a loyal man. I really appreciate you, brother.
Yeah.
And so we'll keep it right here on RacingRefresh.com, social media, because fresh hot cons always coming your way. Look out tomorrow for those top 10 tweets of the week where I break down whatever I saw on Motorsports Twitter that I feel like putting in. So anywho, with that, we will see you next week, and we'll break down all the action Sonoma. We'll get Adam's thoughts somehow or another. And until then, we're going to see you at the next track.